We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. That's really not an important position right now because all month long we've been hosted by our great friends over at Gray, Gray & Gray. Again, I always like to thank them in every segment. And the man to my right, partner in the firm and also a reporter on the show, the wonderful Rich Hershen.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks, Rich. Again, I love being, I don't know, when I'm here, I don't know if I like doing the interviews or being out in the Blue Room, which is your cafe, which is just wonderful. It's just great being out there. And great staff here at Gray, Gray & Gray. They feel forced to talk to me and say hi.
It really makes me feel welcoming to others. So, yeah, good. I'm glad they're doing their job.
Our next guest comes with a bodyguard. We don't know why. The bodyguard we know. That's why we don't know why. The bodyguard is Bruce Patz of Advantage Payroll, one of the partners of the firm. And today he's brought Julie Carroll, who's from their division or their company, Total HR Solutions. So much to talk about, the evolving employer relationship, overtime rules. You know, I can't wait to get into these subjects with you. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
So let's start with Total HR Solutions. Why, you know, nowadays is it important for an organization like yours to associate with a payroll company?
Well, we really specialize in servicing the small to mid-size payroll companies. And that, for us, is anywhere from one employee to 200.
Right.
We do work with larger companies as well, since we may be working with a dedicated staff of 10 or 15 regional or direct managers, so still on the small business scale for us. So it's an important partnership with payroll because more and more small employers are going to their resources to be able to abide by the changing laws. And that means their accountants. They're going to their payroll providers because they don't have a dedicated HR office. They don't want to reach out to an attorney office where they're going to pay a higher rate, and they need to get the compliance. Massachusetts has really made a lot of changes in the last year and a half that affect every employer in the state, even those with only one or two employees. So we have partnered with the payroll because the payroll company needed a trusted compliance resource, and we're dedicated in that space.
So if you don't mind me asking, I'd like to go into the Wayback Machine and ask you sort of like, how did you evolve into this career and become an entrepreneur? What's your background?
So I've known Bruce Patz for 17 plus years, I think, many years.
I didn't think he was 20 years old.
I know.
So I've been in the payroll business since he was three.
Right. So, and that leads me to, I had worked in the medical field for many years doing medical billing and consulting. And I had worked with...
Complicated.
Correct. Complicated, but passionate. And I worked with some physicians to set up a mental health billing. And that company today, I'm happy to say, is still around. And Advantage Payroll is still running their payroll. So Bruce and I partnered from that perspective.
So you were the client.
I was the client. I was. So then I over the years evolved into still really as an operations director for small businesses, a family-owned company for 15 plus years that had a little bit of holdings everywhere, restaurants, startups, and venture capital, real estate. And I always, would refer and bring Bruce in from startup because he serviced the small businesses really, really well. I'm fortunate now in the mature end of my career to move into just HR and spending my time as a dedicated HR professional. And I enjoy the business and the coaching and the development and seeing a small business succeed. So I was working with an insurance company who, by the nature of their clients needing compliance handbooks and things, they didn't know where to go. They started an HR division and it grew a little bit quicker than they would like. So Bruce and I joined ranks, about 18 months ago. And he purchased the company and we started on the Advantage Payroll side. We operate as two independent companies, but we are a direct resource for the Advantage Payroll system.
It must be so helpful. You see, small businesses and that you're working with, they need an HR department, but it doesn't make sense for them to bring that on board at their size. So, as things get more and more complex and new rules come out, I would think the need for your skill set is huge.
It is. A lot of them we work with, even from accountants will call us, and their accounting firm is looking to give an added value to their small businesses. Those that were trying to comply with the ACA, which is the Affordable Care Act, and providing health care and things like that. So we work with other insurance agents that are looking for that resource for their clients, accountings, other legal firms, as well as direct clients. And you're correct, finding those resources is very hard when you're a small business without paying a lot of money.
it always amazes me in my day-to-day work going from company to company how organizations don't understand the laws. And, you know, you're right. They don't want to call their attorney, and they don't know, you know, they don't want to hire a full-time HR professional, a real HR professional, versus an administrative assistant that they're making into an HR professional.
Exactly. That happens a lot.
Right.
Bruce said that happens a lot. He's off mic by design. Tell us a little bit about, you know, that small business entrepreneur who's potentially in trouble and doesn't know they're in trouble.
Yes, because most small businesses, as Bruce said, someone's wearing a dual hat. It's the bookkeeper, it's a spouse, it's the administrative support. They're doing the dual hat. They're doing a business, an accounting job, an administrative job, and then all the employee-related business. So also, small businesses, the business of running the business, making the payroll, paying the bills is top priority. And in years past, under 5 employees, there were very limited things that you needed to worry about. So for those employers and those entrepreneurs, that HR has long been looked at kind of at the end of the table, fluff, I'll call it. If for those entrepreneurs that are starting to see HR as a business,
I never heard Rich
tool,
say that before.
Yes,
not publicly.
You know, for those businesses, entrepreneurs that we do get now, as things are evolving, that say, who's doing our payroll, who's doing our HR, and who's our insurance broker? HR is now a business tool, and they're putting that in place at the forefront.
Has to be at the forefront.
Your risk, giving you tools and compliance. Same exact thing as payroll. You want to make sure that payroll's processed and your taxes are paid. You want to make sure that someone's hired appropriately. When you need to dismiss them, you can do that, and things run smoothly. So those companies or entrepreneurs that can think of HR as a business tool at the executive table at the beginning of their venture do much better. Yeah. So our goal is educating that HR is a business tool and providing tools to help companies lead with that.
I'm surprised it's taken that long. I mean, you know, you see businesses start, they get their attorney, they have to pay payroll, they bring an expert, they need an accountant to do taxes and planning. I don't know why HR was always left out of the mix. So I think it's great that you're starting to see more and more companies do this.
Well, I would agree. And I think that's generally because, and most companies, I am, as the HR seat on an executive table, usually giving the answer nobody wants to hear.
So, you know,
fair enough.
No, you can't do that.
The HR rules in Massachusetts, and I think nationally, but Massachusetts in particular for me,
yes,
always, it's like that old game where, you know, the chairs are always moving. I mean, it's constantly in flux. And specifically, we talked before we turned on the mics about the new overtime rules. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that is federal. So all states will be dealing with the new changes to the overtime rule. That was, you know, put into place by the Department of Labor. We've all in the HR community been waiting and waiting for some final regulations as early as last Wednesday, finally last week. This was the Department of Labor is going to start enforcing. This was passed well over a year ago with the Department of Labor. And to be a salaried exempt employee, meaning you're exempt from overtime, the minimum salary an employee could be paid was $455 per week in many states. Some states have other regulations with that, California being one. So, but the general rule for the federal government was $455 per week. That is going to double going forward. We're going to have till December to put things in place. There's some nonprofits and some sales positions that will have some variances in there. But what does that mean to employers? They now have to look at their budgets. I mean, if they're paying their manager $750 a week as a salaried exempt position, can they go up to $913, $921?
If you're a restaurant, right, small restaurant,
correct,
with maybe, you know, 100
chefs,
variable staff, it's a dramatic increase in overhead.
It is a dramatic increase in overhead. The good news is there's ways to implement it, and that's where we provide a lot of support. Doing a wage audit and being able to show a company or ownership, listen, if you leave them at this, this is the overall effect, but you still can have the flexibility not to pay overtime for those employees, or you can move these people and reclass them to maybe an hourly position. You could hire shift leaders and assistant managers at a lower rate that provide the support for those overtime hours. So what business owners need to be aware of, that they need a tool to manage it. There is a way to make adjustments. They're giving us some time to do it, but they need to review what they're doing, look at the best option for that particular company. But you're correct. Restaurants will be hit the hardest.
So what suggestion would you give for, you know, small business owners that this just came out, they have some time to implement it? What should they do now?
Call us.
Okay. No. I thought that was going to be the answer you were going to give.
Exactly.
Did you say that before you knew Bruce, or
yeah,
was that part
exactly.
of the training?
No. You know, reach out. You're going to need to look at, and in a simplistic view, anyone in their office could take an Excel spreadsheet and, you know, put every employee that's being paid salary and the amount that they're being paid, and then calculate that out with the increase as to what the overall budget increase will be, and can the company sustain that? If they're happy with the positions, they've got people in salaried positions exempt from salary because they need it. They need them to be flexible. They're working greater than 40 hours. I mean, there's a lot of positions that require that. Then they just need to look at the impact and can they afford that impact? And if they can, they're really not going to have to do anything other than notify the employee. The Department of Labor's changed it as such. You know, they're allocating a new salary to them beginning, you know, on the date that this will enforce. For others, it will be looking at that impact and then figuring out a plan that's going to work in the short and the long term. And you will have to reclass positions and job descriptions. So you'll need a little assistance there, but there's resources available.
Yeah, great. And it seems like the burden on business just keeps getting more because, what was it, about a year ago, we had new sick time rules that came out?
Correct. Massachusetts put in July of 1st of last year the earned sick time rule, which affected every employer in Massachusetts, meaning 1 hour of earned sick time will be earned by every employee in the state, up to 40 hours per year to, you know, be able to be utilized for...
So a week a year.
Yes. But under 11 employees, they don't have to pay for that time, but they have to allot for it. And over 11, it's required to be paid. Significant impact to restaurants with wait staff and things like that. How do you cover a shift when you've got to pay someone who's already out?
No rollover on sick time, right?
Yeah, no.
Because I've got about 30 years of sick time I haven't taken.
Exactly. Well, you know, under the earned...
Right.
Right.
No, not
yeah.
me. Not from sick.
You
get
the show
by choice.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to roll over up to 40 hours, but they only are allowed to use 40 hours per year. So there is a rollover with the earned sick time. But, you know, again, it was policy review, and we did a lot of policy review for some clients that weren't our clients, but looking for a resource, and we're happy to provide that. That, look, their policy already was giving the employee greater relief or providing them 10, 15 days off per year to use for vacation or sick time. And in many cases, they just had to make an adjustment on the rollover or the accrual. So for some companies, it was a minimal impact. And for others, it's been very significant. And they're still struggling with that, very much still struggling with that.
And the important part of that rule is that's not 11 full-time equivalents. That's 11 employees.
Right.
So it really is affecting a lot of companies that would have to pay actually.
That was Bruce talking.
That actually have to allow people to take that sick time.
Huh. Very interesting, Julie. It's funny how time just flies. There's so much more we could talk to you about. Maybe you'll come again without Bruce.
Love to.
Yeah. But if somebody wants to get hold of you and know more about the new HR, the changing world of HR, how would they contact you?
Well, we're on the web, Total HR Solutions. We're located out in Acton, Mass. And our telephone number is 978-298-5454.
Well, and I'll end on a light note. I've had surgery twice in the last 10 years. The first time I left surgery on Vicodin and made client calls. The second time I was out of surgery on morphine, heavy morphine drip, and I was making client emails. Both times I think clients didn't appreciate the they would have preferred that I not go to work that day.
Yes, we and HR we would
the
have
advice
yeah.
they were giving you were giving those days.
According to my partner Jonathan, you couldn't even read the emails when I was on morphine. They
yes.
were they were illegible. But I was pounding out those emails.
Interestingly enough, through a personal experience, someone leaving after a minor surgery a couple weeks ago as well, and the physician on the way out, she said, well, when can I go back to work? He said, well, you know, you can work from home now, but as long as you're taking a Vicodin, I say don't send emails.
On the Vicodin, it was kind of interesting because I was on with a client family fight where they were screaming at each other. And my knee was like just sliced up and I was in agony. And I remember thinking, I'm just having the best time today. I was so happy. And I thought, you know what, I better get off this Vicodin because I have no reason to be happy, but I'm feeling great.
I thought the solution was just give the entire family the Vicodin.
You know, I can see why people get addicted to Vicodin. Because
yeah.
I took it once and I got so scared I got off it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe you gave better advice that day, Jeff.
I might have. If you know me, I might have given more advice. I'll tell you, the morphine wasn't bad either. But I liked them both too much. That's why I stopped taking them. I went on the Advil drip the same night from the morphine.
Go.
I told them, take me off the morphine. Great having you on the show. I
love it.
It's a lot of fun and, you know, important topics. We're going to take a break. Thanks to our friends again at Gray, Gray & Gray, and Rich Hirschen in particular.
Thank you, Rich.
He's one of our heroes on Radio Entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. Him out. Search. Are you on those Vicodins now? Or?
You know, I try to live some of the effects of Vicodin daily.
Okay.
The reality of life could take you down. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on the one and only Radio Entrepreneurs.